I have no conflicts to declare at this point. Again, I do want to I want to thank the panels for allowing me to present here. A couple of other thanks I want to make. One is to APHA. This year, APHA and the Partnership for Public Health Law put out this amazing document, which you can find on the main page for the schedule for the conference, about all the different public health law panels that are going on here at the conference this year. It's a linked document, so you can find anything that has to do with public health law that's going on at the conference this year. It's a six-page document. As somebody who's been involved with this section and SPIG and a forum before that, this is an amazing point for us as far as talking about legal issues in public health and at this conference. And so I really do want to thank APHA for putting a real spotlight on issues of law and public health at this year's conference. I also want to thank my research partner in this project, Mike Parento, who was one of my students in the dual degree program, MD-JD program at Southern Illinois University, and who really did a lot of the background research on and digging into some of the policy areas here. Which you'll see, again, it's a good thing that I'm in the theory area because there's a lot of theory going on here and not as much data analysis because this is part of a process that I've been looking at over the last several years that is looking at the intersections of policy of public health policy as it gets enforced and interpreted down to the local and state level. So it's real kind of health and all policies kind of framework that I'm just starting to get fairly deep into a few different rabbit holes with. This chart will give you a kind of a sense of where we are in all of this, and this comes from Chen and Hibbs, 1998 Pediatric Annals article. And a lot of the area that I'm talking about has to do with this, what this chart presents, which is kind of the lifespan of elimination of vaccine-preventable diseases. And what we see is as the vaccine coverage continues to increase, which is the red dotted line that you see there, you see the disease rates tend to decrease. You get to this critical point where all of a sudden, concerns about adverse events and concerns about the vaccines themselves start to out, for lack of a better term, out-concern the public than concern about the disease. And so what you see is a decrease in the confidence and in the coverage with a concomitant, slightly following outbreak period, a rise in outbreaks, which ultimately will lead to people recognizing, well, we probably shouldn't have been so lax about concern about the protections of vaccination, and ultimately leading to eradication of those diseases. We're in that bubble, I think, right there in the middle right now. And what I'm really concerned about are when laws and policies are put into place or implemented or reinterpreted that permanently, structurally damage the safety net that we have for public health protections. There's a couple things that are going on in a couple different states in other areas right now, including Washington and California recently passed laws that purport to strengthen their immunization laws while at the same time creating permanent loopholes to create new ways to get exemptions through things. So, you know, it's once you break open and you open up Pandora's box of the legislative process, all sorts of interesting things come in, and it can create these kind of permanent changes and these permanent fissures in the safety net or new holes in the safety net. And this this process, what I'm talking about, and I'm going to speed things up rapidly, because I just spent all that time on that one chart and I only have 10 minutes to talk. So, measles, you know, we're in a period right now. We have some of the highest levels of measles outbreaks that we've had in quite a long time. And this year, we've had a couple of significant outbreaks. One of the probably the highest profile was at a church in Texas, a big measles outbreak where the head of the church was a very strong televangelist who was very strongly opposed to vaccination. Once the outbreak occurred, and 21 people within his congregation, were infected with measles, they've actually completely changed their tune. Holding free vaccination clinics at the church, as well as encouraging people who didn't attend a clinic to quarantine themselves at home for 2 weeks, and recognizing the value of the immunization process. So what we see is this is a part of the phenomenon that that I've been talking about for some time, of that the exemption exemptors to childhood immunization laws tend to cluster geographically, specifically probably the area where it becomes most prominent is in particular school systems. In a particular school or geographic areas surrounding particular schools. These are a couple of different charts. On the bottom is something that came from a Chicago Tribune report a couple of years ago that looked at all the Chicago area schools and where the highest percentage of exemption populations were occurring. These populations, the ones, the darkest red circles, had all vaccination. They had a higher than 10% exemption rate for all vaccinations within their schools. So this is an issue that can arise with regard to things like measles, pertussis, especially with what appears to be a vulnerability after several years of the waning of the effectiveness of the vaccine, H1N1, meningitis as well. So now we get to finally Tim Tebow, which. For those of you who may not know, he was a Heisman-winning quarterback from Florida, who then went on to a semi-illustrious career in the NFL. But he did win. You know, he was as a child was homeschooled, and has become kind of the vanguard for what has now come to be known colloquially as Tim Tebow laws. What these allow for is a child who is predominantly homeschooled to petition to an area public school to participate in public school activities. So it's largely focused around athletics, but it can be, and the laws, it depends, it varies from state to state, can include things like performing arts or debate or things along those lines as well. By the way, he got onto the team and took the high school that he played with to the state championship. So, you know, there's a plus side to Tim Tebow laws. What this also does, and we have seen now that these Tim Tebow laws are now in place in at least 27 states. It depends on. I think as of right now, it's up to it's being considered in several others, but our last look at the data was that it's in 27 states. The most recent state to pass it was in Arkansas, and they called it very clearly. They kind of checked that it was a homeschool student program. It's called an act to allow homeschooled students to participate in interscholastic activities, but South Carolina, by contrast, called theirs Equal Access to Interscholastic Activities Act, but they all kind of run around the same idea. So these programs are now in place in a number of different areas. This is the kind of document that needs to be submitted by the parent who wishes to have their child in the program. And what it says here reflects what is found in the statutes themselves. It says, I understand the student must meet all school district eligibility requirements with the exception, and this is for specifically for the South Carolina law, with the exception of the school district's school or class attendance requirements. So what this does is it raises, and this I think is emblematic of what a number of these state laws address. There are only seven states for their childhood immunization laws that include homeschools as part of their vaccine reporting requirements, and the enforcement arm of those reporting requirements in the homeschool environment is obviously is going to have less of a bureaucratic structure for that. So the South Carolina law says you need to demonstrate that you are eligible, but you don't have to meet any of the school or class attendance requirements. So the questions that arise with these kinds of circumstances are, well, what would this do to public health? How do you define eligibility requirements becomes a really critical question. School entry requirements becomes a really critical question. As I mentioned, childhood vaccination laws often don't cover homeschool environments. We have seen in a number of different studies that the homeschool student demographics tends to be one of these areas where we find clusters of exempted populations. The TBOH laws, this is again one of those health in all policies kind of structures because this tends to focus largely on athletic associations. If it has any kind of intersection at all, it may be with a board of education, but it doesn't tend, this isn't coming through public health structures when they create these laws, and they're not really even being vetted through public health frameworks as they're being put in place. Just about all of these laws, there are a few of them that say you have to adhere to these requirements, but most of them do not. We've seen these kind of circumstances in the past prior to having a widespread measles vaccination uptake, where sporting events and participation in these sporting events tends to bring together unvaccinated populations and vaccinated populations. The one on the right there is Indiana. That's the county I live in. One of the more recent measles outbreaks occurred, and one of the potential vectors was a basketball tournament where for homeschool kids, where that became a potential vector. So what I'm talking about, basically with no time left on the clock, inclusion of vaccination information on sports physicals currently doesn't exist. This may be an area where some potential information can be shared. These are some of the questions that I'm still trying to work through with regard to this, and we can talk about this during the question and answer section. And I'll talk about the ideals then too. So, but just kind of bringing these things out, and I'll talk about the rest during question and answers if there's interest in doing that. Otherwise, I'll shut up. Thank you.